So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and falsehood. This is why he's writing, verse 22 and 23. And who is the great liar? The one who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Now, see, we would have thought that was the devil, but the devil's in them. Such people are antichrist, for they have denied the Father and the Son. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either, but anyone who confesses the Son has the Father also. Isn't that good news? So anytime anybody tells you, I don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, you say, can I have your name? What do you want my name for? Write the full name down. Whole name. What are you going to do? I just write your name down. So I don't want to forget who you are. Okay, so they write their name down and hand it to you. And then they say, as you walk up, what are you going to do with that? Say, I'm going to take you to the third heaven. I'm going to lay you before the altar of God. And I've had men tell me when I tell them that, they start screaming at me, don't you pray for me. I don't want to be saved. Well, see, who do you think that is talking in them? The devil, of course. That human being, he don't know, see. But that devil in him. So you go, I have went and taken men to the throne of grace like that, and I've seen God save them right and left. I've seen him change them, drag them into the kingdom. I mean, kicking and screaming and all the way. But once they get saved, oh, they ain't never the same, are they, Keith? I mean, they ain't nothing you would trade for your salvation, is there?
No.
Ain't nothing. No job, no money, no nothing.
Nope.
I mean, there ain't nothing that we... knowing Jesus is the most awesome thing any of us can do. And really knowing him. Verse 24 and 25. So you must remain faithful to what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will continue to live in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. That's where I want to live.
Amen.
And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life he promises. Eternal life. We're going to live forever. And that's another one. Cheryl made that little comment a while ago. She told Christy, that's what the song I want you to play when you put me in the dirt. Well, they ain't but one thing going to go into the dirt. That's the body. I mean, the very instant she dies, the part of her that's really alive, the spirit and the soul, is going to be right there with God. She may look down and say, ooh, there's my body. Well, how about that? Woo, I'm free for the first time ever. And you get to go to heaven when them angels come by and swoop you up and say, that's good. Stop looking at that thing that you lived in all those years. Let's go. And they take you to heaven to be with the Lord. And they're going to be awesome. We win any way you look at it. Verse 26 and 27. I have written these things to you because you need to be aware of those who would want to lead you astray. You reckon there's anybody out there who would want to lead you astray? They're all over the place. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you all things, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So continue in what he has taught you, and continue to live in Christ. Good instructions, isn't it? Verse 28. And now, dear children, continue to live in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Now, verse 29 says, since we know that God is always right, we also know that all who do what is right are his children.
Amen.
That's an awesome chapter. You know it?
Amen.
An awesome chapter. So, one of the main reasons I picked that chapter today, because it had those two places in it that said, this is the last hour. And the kingdom has already come. But yet we had a prophet here last week told us there's going to be awful, devastating things happen. Some of them he said he felt like it's going to happen in the very near future. He even made a statement that there could be an earthquake before the end of this month that would separate the United States. And he said there's already been two small earthquakes. But I've been hearing about this earthquake except to divide the United States for 5 or 6 or 10 years. And it hadn't happened yet. It may happen someday. I remember In 1988, when a NASA scientist, which was a great man of God, wrote 88 reasons why Jesus is going to come in 1988. I was alive then. I remember that. That guy was a man of God. I listened to his tapes. I heard him on radio, television. I mean, this guy was very convincing. He had scriptures to prove everything. In fact, I remember I had an Oldsmobile that needed a valve job. And I thought, well, I ain't going to do the valve job on that thing. Well, if Jesus comes next month, why spend all that time working on that stupid car? I ain't going to need it anyway. So I just drove it with a burned valve. Rosh Hashanah came and went away. And we didn't get called away that night. And I thought, well, maybe it's going to be tomorrow. I waited about another month, and that's it. I decided, well, he ain't coming, so I might as well do a valve job. I ain't going to drive his old car, you know, with a burned valve. So I pulled it out there in the shop, jerked the heads off of it, done a valve job, and drove it 5 more years and sold it. And still, he hadn't come. That's been 20 years ago, Keith, and he still hadn't come. But yet he's been here every day. He's right here today. He says if two or three of us agree about anything, he's here. We don't have to worry about the king coming. He's here. We fail to believe that he is really here among us right now. But he's walking these aisles right now. His angels are walking these aisles. His Holy Spirit's in every one of us. He's not very far away. So he did come. 2,000 years ago, he did come. His Spirit's here, and he's been here forever. Now then, we can talk to him anytime we want to. We can open his word and read it. We can give words to his, we can give voice to his words anytime we want to. We can just sit down and read his word and talk to him, and knowing, just like Psalms 91. I mean, I made this teaching. The day will come when you will need Psalms 91. Well, let me tell you really need Psalms 91 every day.
Amen.
But you know, when you just like the Smiths back there. Kim, she made a statement to me here a while back, her and her husband, Scott. When they learned 2 or 3 years ago about Psalm 91, their children sometimes go to a daycare or something for some of those church or whatever, and they would come home with flus and colds or whatever. And one day she decided, they ain't no use in this nonsense. We got Psalm 91. And so they started reading Psalm 91 over their three children every day. And y'all been reading Psalm 91 over them now how long? A year or two or three? 2 years? And how many times they've been sick since you... Not one time, she just said. Isn't that something? Wow. Now, what did they do different? Only did one thing different. Started reading Psalm 91 over their children every day. Now, see, when you start claiming the promises of God...
Amen.
By faith, they work, don't they?
They work.
I mean, are they any better Christian today than they was 5 years ago? No. They serving the same Jesus that was 5 years ago? Yep. Was their kid sick 3 years ago? Yes. Well, what made the change 2 years ago? They started reading Psalm 91 over their children. Well, that's what I'm trying to get across. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm preaching the word for. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell y'all like this preacher that was hired at a new church. And he come in and he preached a message. And man, some of the deacons and elders and everybody come up and told him, man, that was a great message you had today. They loved it. The next Sunday, he preached the same exact message. Word for word. And they thought, well, that was a good message, but I wonder why he preached it twice. After he did this about 5 or 6 Sundays in a row, finally the deacon board met and they got and said, you know, that was a great message. Well, don't you have another one? Oh, he said, I got hundreds of them. He said, well, why don't you use a different one? He said, when y'all start doing what I said in the first one, I'll preach another one. In other words, nobody changed. I'm telling y'all to start reading Psalm 91, and here's a man of God. Why don't we start doing that? That's what I'm trying to get across. That's what I'm trying to get across. We should come back and say, you know, I read Psalm 91 over me and my children this week, and everything's went great. I mean, hey, if we find something that works with one family back there, and they've been doing it for 2 years, what is it that we don't understand about something that works?
Cell phone memory.
You see where I'm coming from? I stand up here and preach this word, trying my best to get it through to y'all. And, you know, I guess y'all are just like I am. You have to have God come up to you, put the funnel in the top of your head, drill a hole up there, and grind it up, pour it down in there. That's kind of the way it is, isn't it? Okay. Now then, let's go to 1 John 3, verses 1 through 10. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 10. And let's see what this says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us." Now, you really think God really loves this bunch?
Yes, sir.
Oh, He really does, doesn't He?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, He really does. "For He allows us to be called His children." Ooh, now He really must love me if He's going to let me be called a son of God. Does He love us?
Yes,
He does. Now, when we stop and think about some of the heathen things we've done since we've been children of God, it makes us ashamed, doesn't it? It makes us ashamed. And that's, but thank God that He's lovable and kind.
Amen.
And we really are, but the people who belong to this world don't know God, so they don't understand that we are His children. I mean, you know, you have to really explain this to people because people don't understand it. It says, "Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns." Now, if you can't even imagine what you're going to be like when He returns, you think it's going to be good? Yes, it's going to be good.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be beyond your wildest dreams to be just like Jesus. Oh, can you imagine to have no realms of time, distance, or speed? But it's to walk through a wall. Somebody said, "Well, let's go over here." Now. The door's closed. Oh, who cares about the door? Let's walk through the door.
Amen.
Nothing that's dimension has any hold on me, because when Christ was here, could He walk through a wall?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how did He eat that fish and honey and it, tangible stuff, and He put it in His mouth and went in His stomach, and yet you can't see it, and all of a sudden He did, Him and fish and honey and all just walk right through the door? Isn't that something? But He said, we're going to be just like that.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.